Emma.
Hi.
And I'm interviewing you on behalf of the Wellcome Trust and one another.
Okay.
It's the 8th of September 2009 at 6:19 p.m. Can I please ask you for your name, full name,
yeah,
date of birth, and where you come from?
My name is Miles Bird. My middle name is William, if you need that. My date of birth is the 19th of August 1972, which makes me just 37. I'm from Bristol, originally from Newcastle, and then via Newcastle-on-Tyne, I ought to say, and then via London for the last 15 years until we moved to Bristol about 4 years ago. There.
How do you feel now?
It's a bit weird, really, because it doesn't feel terribly real, despite sort of seeing people up there and people going up and coming down and doing whatever it is they do, like eat bananas and stuff like that. It doesn't feel anything yet. Ask me afterwards, probably, is the best thing to do.
How did you hear about the project?
From my wife, actually, who it was a gift to me. She said we were having a discussion about we've got three kids and how we don't do anything anymore and blah, blah, blah. Not in a horrible way, but, you know, our life does revolve around sort of Lola and Angus and Minty. And she thought this would be an ideal opportunity for me to do something that didn't revolve around them. However, they are all here supporting me.
Can I ask you what you're going to do out there?
Yep, I will be dispensing good advice. I've collated 60-ish pieces of good advice. Well, people have given me advice, whether it's good or not is up to them. I will be transcribing the good advice from a typed up manuscript onto individual pieces of A4 paper, which I'll then be folding and jettisoning, I can't say the word, from the plinth into the audience, and hopefully people will pick it up, and maybe the device will change their lives, maybe it'll make them laugh, maybe they'll screw it up and put it in the bin, but that's up to them. I'm just delivering it.
Where did the idea come from?
Where do any ideas come from? It's an idea. It was either that or children's party games, but we went for advice.
And who did you get the advice from?
Friends, family, colleagues, some people that I know very well and who know me very well, other people who don't know me so well, so a real mixed bag of sources. And as I say, some of the advice is quite funny. My brother's advice is very funny. It's all anonymous, by the way, which is what I promised it would be. Some of it's very serious.
Where do you live
now? I live in a little village called Lower Langford, which is south of Bristol in Somerset. It's about 10 miles south of Bristol. It's a very little village. It has a pub, a post office and a hairdresser's. We live in what used to be the old drill hall for the Somerset Artillery. So it's a building from 1799. It's kind of old and mysterious and a little bit creaky, a little bit rough around the edges. I kind of like historical things. I prefer to live in old houses. So yeah, so it fits the bill. Nice and Georgian.
Who do you live with?
I live with my wife Emma, who's also 37. She'll thank me for saying that. And our three children, Lola, who's 5, Lola Sybil, and our twins, who are 2, Angus Lawson and Araminta, who's only ever known as Minty. I don't know why we bothered calling her Araminta, really. Minty, Peggy is her middle name.
How old are you, children?
Lola's 5, the twins are 2. Oh, to point out, there are 2 dogs as well, Victor, who's 4, and Bunty, who is 1. Victor's a French bulldog, and Bunty's a black pug. And she's the one on my profile picture.
What kind of family did you come from?
Middle class. My dad ran the family business, which he inherited from his mother for 30 odd years, I'd say. And then eventually left to run the Chamber of Commerce up in the Northeast. So he's quite, he's a business person. My mother was a stay-at-home mum. Looked after my brother, my sister and I more than adequately. She has also contributed advice. Very stable, loving family home, really.
Where is this?
This is up in Newcastle. I grew up with a short 4-year gap, maybe 6-year gap, near Liverpool. So northern, through and through. You can probably tell by my accent.
How did you come about leaving
Newcastle? I came to university in London. I always loved London. My my aunt lives down here with her husband and well, used to be my two cousins, but they're grown up now. And I love coming to see her. I love London, so I thought, well, great, I'll come to university here. And I met my wife at university. She's from Surrey. I had no particular yearning to go back to Newcastle. I've got no particular attachment to the place, other than family, which you can go back and see all the time. I don't think I'd want to live there again. I don't particularly miss it. So I just ended up staying here with Emma. And then about 4 years ago, I got offered a job in Bristol. And at that point, Lola, the oldest, was one. So we thought, why not? Why not? Time to move out of the city, give the kids a bit of space to run around. Only one kid at the time. And then, two and three followed shortly after we moved.
Why do you think you didn't feel that attached to Newcastle?
I always felt it was, sounds ridiculous now because I live in a village of about 600 people, so I always felt it was quite small. You couldn't do anything without people knowing about it. The communities in Newcastle tend to be quite close-knit. People really do know each other, and if they don't, they know somebody who does. And it just kind of felt quite claustrophobic. So London was, for me, it was quite anonymous, which is kind of interesting when you go from one extreme to the other, I guess. And anonymity, I think, suits the young. And then, as you get older, you kind of want to have a more of a sense of community where you do want to be around kids, and you do want your kids to be safe going out. And not that kids aren't safe going out in London. That's ridiculous, narrow-minded, bigoted thing to say. But you feel in the country that they're much safer.
What's home life on a day-to-day basis for you?
It starts at 7:15 when I get up. Then I go and drink coffee, let the dogs out, let them go for a pee. Then I go upstairs, I wake Angus and Minty up first. They're not morning people, nor am I, so we rub along okay. While Emma has a shower, then she comes out of the shower and we get the kids dressed. Then I go and have a shower and then I get dressed. Then I take the dogs for a walk, then we all have breakfast, and then I leave for work, which is about 25 minutes to 35 minutes, depending on traffic away. I work up in South Bristol, which is kind of an interesting place. It's very working class, quite an industrial background. I work for a drinks company, so we supply booze and soft drinks to the on-trade. And I run the contact centre for that, or call centre, as people probably know it better. So there's about 180 people who work for me indirectly. And then we have a morning meeting where I get together with my gang of managers, and we go through what's going on for the day, and then the day can bring all manner of interesting bits and bobs, from unhappy customers being escalated through to field salespeople who want stuff doing for them which absolutely can't be done, to really fun meetings which about strategy, and which always end up being a giggle. My days aren't particularly structured at work. I'm normally home by 6:15, 6:30, which is in time to watch a bit of telly with the kids. Angus and Minty go to bed at 7, and Emma and I read them both a story. They share a room, and Lola goes to bed at 7:30. We alternate her story for that. Then we cook and we eat, and then we watch TV or read books or chat or whatever, and we go to bed. There you are. Is that enough?
Is there anything that you like to do as a family?
What do we like to do? We've just come back from holiday, actually, which was brilliant, and I wish I could go on more holidays with the family, because it was unexpectedly good. Because Angus and Minty, being two, are quite unpredictable. They're just learning to speak, they're just learning to communicate, and that can be very frustrating for them and frustrating for us. This holiday was probably the first one where they could talk and experience and get on with what they wanted to do and be relatively safe. So we spent 2 weeks in France with our friends who have children the same age, and we spent most of the time on the beach, building sandcastles, swimming in the sea, having picnics, that kind of stuff. And as a family, what do? We eat together, we go for walks together, we take the dogs for a walk, we read together, watch TV together, we watch Emma's got a particular, sorry, Lola's got a particular fascination with old musicals at the moment, so The Sound of Music, Seven Brides for Seven Brothers are the current favourites. So yeah, kind of ordinary family stuff, but we see friends and we eat together as well, that kind of thing, social vibe.
What does your wife do?
Emma works for BT, she sort of account managers really, and she works from home, which is kind of good because it's flexible, particularly with the children. She's worked there for about 15 years, something like that, maybe longer, 17 probably. And she kind of likes her job, she enjoys it. It's not terribly important to her, but at the same time, I don't think she'd want to be without it.
You mentioned going to university in London.
Mm-hmm.
What did you study?
I studied law, business law, and decided after about 3 months that I didn't want to be a lawyer, that it was actually quite dull, and that most of it is just doing the same thing day in, day out, which is repetitive. It's not a hugely sociable profession, other than socialising with other lawyers, so there's not much diversity in the number of the people that you meet. So I decided quite quickly I didn't want to be a lawyer. I should have probably made the decision to study modern languages instead at that point, but I didn't. I carried on. I completed my degree. So it was okay, but I should have done something I was more interested in.
What do you think drew you into it in the first place?
I kind of had visions of defending. I have quite green beliefs, so I kind of wanted to get involved in environmental law, but I'm not competitive enough or probably bright enough to do that. And so, realistically speaking, it's probably not the dream job for me.
Have you always been interested in environmental issues?
Probably since I was about 15, so I was interested, it's all to do with oil spillages and the impact on the environment then, because really, back in the mid-80s, climate change was just beginning to be talked about, and nobody verified whether it was true or false. You never talked about landfill, recycling was unheard of. So all this stuff was coming out, and I guess I was at the right age to become aware of it from the beginning, so it's kind of a story that you can follow through. A hideous, catastrophic story, but it's a story nonetheless.
Has this had any impact on your life at the moment?
Insofar as we're careful in what we do and how we live our lives, but at the same point, I'm a pragmatist, I have 3 children. And we have plastic and we have disposable nappies, so, I'm not a hardcore environmentalist by any stretch.
Have any hopes or ambitions for the
future? I'd like to grow old disgracefully. Being content is underrated. I don't believe that anybody can be happy all the time, but content I think is good enough, and I'd like to see my children grow up to be happy.
Coming back to the plinth, is there anything you'd like to gain from the experience?
I don't have any expectations of the plinth, to be frank. So in terms of gaining something, if I do, then it's a bonus, but I'm not looking to gain anything from it.
Is there anything that you'd like other people to gain from watching your
I'd like people to smile. It would be great if a piece of advice did resonate with somebody, but at the same time, if it doesn't, I'm not at all bothered about it being unwanted, because quite often advice is. So unwanted, unwelcome, or unfollowed, I guess.
Is there anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so.
Thank you very much.